let's talk. Last week we talked about Job, and so far we've learned that Job was a righteous man, he feared God, and he turned away from evil. We also learned that Job was a very wealthy man, not because of greed, but in the ancient world, richness was considered an indication of God's favor. And we also learned that Job had 10 children. So that brings us up to Job 1, 6 through 22. Read along with me. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was also among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I have come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Wow, what devastation came to Job that day. I can't even imagine if I lost all my children in one day and my possessions. It's really gut-wrenching to think about. As I say that, it reminds me that God owns everything that I have, family and possessions. It's all His to do with how He pleases. Let's continue to search this scripture to see what God is teaching us through Job and his suffering. Job teaches that human perspective is limited, and that far beyond human understanding is the mind of God. That's why so many times in our lives we are asking, "Why, God?" That's because we don't have the mind of God, who is all and knows all. We see this in verse 6. We find the angels and Satan coming before the royal court of the sovereign Lord. Here we see the destructive nature of Satan, who is roaming the earth looking for victims. And I want to stop there just for a minute and say, he's still doing that. Satan claims that people only believe in God for what they can get. Are we one of those that only believe in God because of what we can get from him? I'd like to issue a warning here. If your prayer life consists of things or actions that you want without asking for God's perfect will for you, then be warned, because Satan is looking to get you. He is still roaming the earth, stirring up havoc. He wants to get into the lives of those who only want God for what they can get from God. The most important thing to see in this passage is that God, not Satan, is in full control. God brings Job to Satan's attention. God allows Satan to afflict Job because God knows the strong faith that Job has. This is not an argument between the good and the evil. This is the sovereign God standing before Satan, who must ask permission to act. Another very important point in this passage is Job's response to his situation. Sometimes we don't have the best responses to our situations, so let's learn from Job in this. Job, in all his righteousness, surprises Satan because he worships the Lord instead of turning against the Lord. This makes me want to shout hallelujah, because all that Job went through, all the suffering that he went through, all the destruction and fear that he must have felt, he still put his faith and trust in the Lord, and he praised him even when he lost everything. It's so hard to imagine that the heartache that Job was going through, but he still praised the Lord. Oh, what an example Job is setting for us. We should all be ready to praise God in the bad times, because we have a practice of praising Him in the good times. So we know that Job praised God on a daily basis, and he prayed for his kids. And he already had that practice built up in his life. So when it came time to go through destruction and suffering, he still praised God. This is a lesson for every believer. What difficult situation are you facing today? Have you already offered the sacrifice of praise in your circumstance? Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name." Have a great week, and trust and praise God.